My peace comes from me. My peace comes from me. All temptation is nothing more than some form of a basic temptation not to believe that your peace comes from you. The only temptation that we go through is the temptation to believe that our peace comes from somewhere else other than ourselves. It looks like peace comes from anywhere except you. And it also looks like innocence comes from anywhere else except you. And it also looks like guilt comes from somewhere else too. The average person doesn't see guilt or innocence as in their own mind, and that's the only place it is, that it's not outside your mind. When you realize that all guilt is just an invention of your mind, you'll also realize that guilt and innocence must be in the same place. And if you understand that your guilt and your innocence is in the same place, you are saved. Now, if you accept that your peace or your conflict or your guilt or your innocence is in your mind, it means that nothing outside yourself can save you, nothing outside yourself can give you peace, nothing outside yourself can hurt you, nothing outside yourself can disturb your peace, nothing outside yourself can accept you in any way, can upset you in any way, nothing outside yourself can upset you in any way if your peace comes from you. So believing that your peace comes from you places you in charge of your universe. And you do belong in charge of your universe because of what you are. Now, you can't take the role of being in charge partially of the way you see things. You must truly begin to see that accepting that you are in charge of the way you feel, that your peace comes from you, that your feelings of innocence or guilt comes from you, that's the beginning of your healing. Now, I know it might not be clear to you why the recognition that guilt is in your own mind entails the realization that innocence is in your own mind, too. But you see, God wouldn't have put the remedy for your guilt where it can't help, or your anger where it can't help. Putting the remedy where it can't help is the way your mind is worked, but that's not the way God's mind works. Your Creator wants you to be healed. Your Creator wants you to be at peace. Your Creator wants you to be happy. Your Creator wants you to be abundant. Your Creator wants you to be free. Your Creator wants you to be safe. Your Creator wants you to be loved. So your Creator has kept the source of your healing where the need for your healing lies, in your mind. You've tried to do just the opposite. You've made every attempt, however distorted and fantastic it might be, to separate your happiness and your healing from the sickness and the fear for which it was intended. In other words, you didn't know it, but you've just been keeping your sickness, keeping your fear, keeping your guilt. There was a part of your mind that had the purpose of ensuring that your healing didn't occur, that your happiness doesn't occur. There's a part of your mind that is trying to ensure that your healing doesn't occur. And your Creator's purpose is to ensure that your happiness and your healing and your abundance and your love does occur. So we're going to practice realizing that our Creator's will, which is our perfect happiness, and our will, which is our perfect happiness, is in alignment. God wants us to be healed. We don't really want to be sick and unhappy and miserable. And it makes us unhappy when we want to be sick or fearful or angry. So accept today that your peace comes from you. And if you say your peace comes from you, you are really in agreement with God. You're really in agreement with love. When you say your peace comes from you, your peace comes from you. Your Creator doesn't want you to be sick. Your Creator doesn't want you to be sick. God doesn't want you to be sick. What created you doesn't want you to be unhappy. What created you doesn't want you to lack. And we don't want to lack and be unhappy either. So God wants us to be healed, and so do we. So now we're going to take a little minute to practice this. We're going to apply this. I want you to repeat silently to yourself, my peace comes from me. And that signifies your recognition that peace comes from nothing outside you. Your true peace, your true happiness, your true power doesn't come from anything outside you. You might put it this way. My peace comes from me. It can't come from anywhere else. My peace comes from me. It can't come from anywhere else. My abundance comes from me, with a capital M. And it can't come from anywhere else. So I want you to review some of the external places where you look for happiness in the past. You know, you look for happiness in other people. You look for happiness in possessions in the past. You look for happiness in various situations you thought you could set up for yourself in the past. You sought for your happiness in different events in the past. You've even sought for your happiness in self-concepts that you kept trying to make real about yourself. Mm-hmm. Recognize that your happiness wasn't any of those external things that you sought in the past outside yourself. And then tell yourself silently, my peace can't come from any of these things. My real peace can't come from any of these things. My real happiness can't come from any of these things. It can't come from other people, possessions, various situations outside myself, and events and self-concepts. I'll say to myself, my peace comes from me and only from me. My peace comes from me and only from me. It can't come from any of these things outside myself. Tell yourself that. Tell yourself the truth. That's the truth. Yeah. So I want you to try to reach the truth in you, because that's where your peace is. Mm-hmm. Now, you won't be able to find your peace in the conflict that surrounds your peace. And you've been looking for your peace in the fear, in the conflict, in the cloud. Mm-hmm. It's not there. Your peace is past the clouds, it's past the conflict, it's past the fear, and it's in the truth beyond your fear. Remember now, you're going to have to go through the illusion. You're going to have to go through the fear, through the guilt, through the anger, through the cloud before you can reach the other side where the truth is located. And remember also that you've never found anything in the cloud pattern of the external things that you imagined that had really lasted. You haven't really found anything that you completely wanted to the point you didn't want anything else. And since all your illusions of happiness have failed you, since all the stuff you've come up with to make you happy permanently in the past has failed you, surely you don't want to remain in the clouds, looking vainly for another idol that you think is going to make you happy next. When you can so easily walk into the light of love and truth of real peace, real salvation. So right now, in your mind, try to pass the clouds by whatever means appeals to you. Try to picture yourself going past the fear, past the obstacle, past the separation, past the lack, past the upset. Picture yourself kind of pass them back, whatever means appeals to you. And if it helps you, why don't you think of me holding your hand?
Yeah.
Think of me holding your hand, going with you past your fear, leading you. And I assure you that if you picture me holding your hand, if you picture the truth holding your hand, if you picture your God, your Creator, holding your hand, leading you past your problem, leading you past your fear, leading you past your upset, that won't be an idle fantasy.
Yeah.
Remind yourself, remind yourself that your peace comes from you. My peace comes from me. 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 Tell yourself silently, my peace, my peace, my own peace, my peace, my peace, my peace, my innocence, and my peace comes from me. Tell yourself the truth. This is what we're here for, to tell ourselves the truth. It doesn't come from any of those external persons and things and events and possessions and circumstances that you look for in the past that's never completely satisfied you and disappointed you in the end, that set you on another hunt to try to come up with the next thing that you think is going to make you happy. Recognize that your peace wasn't in any of those things, and tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself, my peace comes from me. It's inside me. Then remind yourself that it's only your own thoughts that can hamper your progress. It's only my own thinking that can block my progress. It's only my own thinking that can block my progress. It's only my own thinking that can block my progress. Tell yourself. Then tell yourself next, I am free from all external interference. I am free from all outside interference. Dare to say that to yourself silently, and you don't have to believe it to say it to yourself. You can say it to yourself without believing it. I am free from all external interference. I am free from all external interference. I am in charge of my healing. And you tell yourself, I am in charge of my healing. It'll be you that will allow it, or it will be you that will delay it. So that means you're in charge of it. You are in charge of the peace of the world, because it starts with your own peace. So the statement that we're being asked to say in this workbook lesson from A Course in Miracles is to tell ourselves, my peace, which is my salvation, my peace comes from me. Nothing outside of me can hold me back. Nothing outside of me can hold me back. Within me is the world's peace and my own peace. Within me is the world's peace and my own peace. My peace comes from me. Nothing outside of me can hold me back. Within me is the world's peace and my own. What I love about the Course in Miracles is that it says you don't have to believe the ideas, you don't have to welcome the ideas. Some of it you're going to resist, some of it you're going to find hard to believe in Christ's style, but still use it, and if you use it, you're going to see that it's true. And I like the fact that it's not trying to convert me. Yeah, let me tell you, you don't have to believe it. So I'm going to continue in this kick butt section that I've been working with. It's been so helpful.
Yeah.
Called Looking Within.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start with a paragraph that, this is so deep. Okay. I'm going to start on paragraph 89 on page 231. And what you're doing is you're looking for your message. So it's something I said tonight or something you hear tonight might be the thing that makes you go, wow, that's what I've been wondering about. But in the meantime, I'm going to do the Course in Miracles with you. It says, the power of decision is your one remaining freedom as a prisoner of this world. The one remaining freedom that we have in this world is the power of decision. And you can decide to see it right. Okay, so he tells us that you got the power of decision. Then he tells us the decision we need to make, the decision to see it right. Okay, then it says,
what you made of it is not its reality, for its reality is only what you give it. So the Course just said to us, you know, it's not what we made it, and it's only as real as we make it. That whatever's going on in your life right now, in your mind, is only as real as you make it. So it goes back and says, you got one, okay, you're this unlimited spiritual being that has all this creative power. And right now you think you're a body and you've forgotten your spiritual identity. And you just have one power left to you, and it's a sleep state. And that power is the power to decide. And then it comes right behind it and says, you don't even have to worry about what to decide, I tell you. Decide to see it correctly. What? Decide to see your mama correctly. Decide to see your daddy correctly. Decide to see your boss correctly. Decide to see your life correctly. Decide to see your financial situation correctly. Decide to see your spiritual identity correctly. The decision that we're being asked to make tonight is to make the decision not for some other physical thing, but just to make the decision that we're going to see it right. Okay? Then it assumes that we don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And so it tells us, the only reality of what you are experiencing is the reality you give it. And then it says something that sounds preposterous. It says, you can't give anything but love to anyone. I know, he says, I know you might think you give people something beside love, like a hard time. And it might look like people are giving you something beside love. He says, but the truth is, who we really are, and that's the key term, who we really are can't give anything but love. Who we really are can't give anything but love. Then it says, also, you can receive anything but love from everybody and everything. That's the only thing you can really share with me is love. The only thing I can really share with you is love. Anything else I can't share with you, that's just something you're giving yourself through me. What's cool about the truth is, when you realize you don't have to believe it, then it's easier to hear.
Yeah.
If you listen to me and your focus is on you have to believe it, it becomes difficult to hear sometimes, depending on whether or not you agree with what you're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So the key to hearing the Course is to realize you don't have to believe it. That's a very important rule if you want to hear something new. And which really kind of feels relaxing to me,
yeah,
to go, well, you know, I don't really have to believe this.
Mm-hmm.
I made a decision the other night that when I've made up my mind about how I'm going to handle the situation, I'm not telling nobody. Because every time I tell somebody, they try to tell me what they think I should do about it, even though I tell them that I've already come up with what I want to do. It's amazing how people feel like anyway, they still got to tell you what's best for you. They mean well. It's not that they're coming out of a mean space, but it seems to trigger something in people that make them automatically think that you need their input about how you should handle the situation.
And God help you to change your mind.
Because they're used to, they're used to people coming to them who don't know what to do.
Right.
Who's asking for their help and advice, right?
Yeah.
But when you meet a person who's in love with their own process and feel okay with their process, they'll say, this is the way that I'm handling this and I'm really liking the way it's going. But what I notice is that people don't hear that. They still hear you need them to tell you something because they're used to people saying they got a problem. And so when you say to a person, you know something, I got the answer and I'm working on the answer and I'm using the answer and the answer's working fine. If it wasn't their answer, they're going to try to tell you that your answer ain't the answer. Even though you are totally and completely at peace with your own answer. And so it's been interesting to watch that happen over and over again, well-intentioned. And so it kind of reminds me of what he's saying here. You know, it's like, I really can't give anything. If I want to have peace, I got to give my peace to myself. And then I give peace to myself by following my peace within. And what's giving me more peace? Sharing my process or not sharing my process? Well, if sharing my process isn't bringing me peace, then I just stop sharing my process. It's not really any more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like follow your peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because your peace comes from you, and your peace comes from the decision to see it right. And seeing it right is the solution you come up with that feels right for you, that's peaceful. Like for me, it feels right for me now to go, you know, when I make a big realization, I'm going to keep it to myself, and I'm just going to act on it. And I'm not going to discuss it with anybody. Because that's the power of silence. And the more you start waking up, the more you realize the power of silence, which explains why higher teachers and invisible masters don't talk a lot. You know, notice that there is something more brilliant than us. If there is something more intelligent than us, you notice it's not gabbing. That it tends to be very silent. That's not saying nothing. And so, and I'm beginning to see why. It's because it's a lot easier to go ahead and act on your realization that's bringing you peace if you don't have the opposition of listening to somebody else's take on it. Mm-hmm. Then you can just go ahead and do what you got to do without a lot of opposition. But if you need a lot of approval, then you're coming from a space of, you know, I need you to give me some help on this. And so people do. So you win either way it go. You know, if you don't know, you can ask and receive. If you do know, be quiet and live it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it says, if you think you have received anything else, it's because you looked within and thought you saw the power to give something else within yourself. Mm-hmm. So this answers the question. If you think you're receiving anything else but love right now, if there's some area of your life that you think you're receiving something else but love, he says, this is why. First you looked inside yourself, and then you believe you got the power to give something other than love. Do you believe that you have the power to give something other than love? Do you think you can sometimes give depression and sadness and conflict and blame and projection? Anybody here thinks that?
Yeah.
Okay, then the Course says, if you think that, then that's why you receive something other than love. Because you believe you can. Is that your bad? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I believe I can receive something other than love, like attack, projection, and blame, he says, well, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Then it's, the Course is so powerful, it's so simple. Then it follows that. It says, it was only this decision that determined what you found, and it was a decision for what you sought. So as soon as I got ready to give myself other than love, something other than love, then I received something other than love, but that was just because that was the decision for what I sought. I looked for something in myself other than love. I believed something about myself other than something that's loving and peaceful and wonderful and beautiful. And because I don't feel that way about myself all the time, and I look inside myself and see something besides something that's beautiful and innocent, he says, that's why you see it out here. That's why it's in your life. It's in your life because you see something other than love in yourself. Your peace comes from you. Okay. Then it says to me, what you think about that?
Makes too much sense.
Like some of it, don't like some of it.
Thank you. I like some of it and I don't like some of it. Anybody else? Anybody else? It's cool. I mean, I love that. You know, when you're honest about what you need, that's when it can be fulfilled.
Well, someone's in fear, then they're wanting to get that validation.
Uh-huh.
If you're true to yourself, you don't need the validation. Like you said, you act out what you feel, and what you feel is what you believe.
About?
Yeah, yourself.
Yourself. So that's the key thing. He says I had to look inside myself and then see within myself the power to give something else other than peace. That's where it all started. I'm looking inside myself and thinking that there's something else in me other than what's love. And then I see it. I mean, that's such a simple explanation to that age-old question of, why is this stuff coming into my life that I don't like? Well, the reason why you see stuff in your life that you don't like is that you're looking inside yourself and seeing something in yourself you don't like. And so then you see it out here and you receive something other than love, because that's what you're feeling about yourself. That's what you get. It's just too simple. That's just too simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you become a puppet on someone else's, you know, I mean, they're pulling the strings. If you don't have the confidence to be true to yourself, then, and you ask for someone else's opinion, then you get a gazillion different opinions. And if it's not who you are, you know, you're really kind of just... Why?
But where did it all start?
With you.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it kind of, the not liking part of it is that puts all the responsibility on me.
That's the part we don't like. Thank you very much. That's the way I don't like about the truth. It means I'm responsible for the way I act. It begins and ends with me. And I'm the Alpha and Omega?
Yes.
You're the beginning and the end. Your peace begins with you, and guess what? Your peace ends with you.
Yeah.
With you. Your happiness begins with you. Your happiness ends with you. And I love knowing that a special relationship is nothing but a relationship you try to hold on to fulfill a need that you think somebody else is going to fulfill for you. And then you abdicate your own real needs so that you can try to hang on to the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the game we play in special relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I won't really give myself what I need because I'll compromise so that I can have this relationship with you that I hope you're going to fulfill my need. Mm-hmm. So I'm really using the relationship to actually hide from myself what I really need. And when I'm honest about what I really need, that's when it can be fulfilled, because there's no such thing as a child of God having a need that will not be fulfilled. That's universal law. But if a person is lying to themselves and deceiving themselves about their needs, or pretending that they don't have needs that they do have, pretending that they're more spiritual than they are, mm-hmm. pretending that they're more awake than they are, and so they're in denial about what they basically think they need at an emotional level, then how can you fulfill a need that you won't be honest about that you have? Because at the point you're honest with yourself, that's the point you believe the wish can be fulfilled. Because so you would never be in a relationship that you wouldn't be honest, and you couldn't be honest about the needs that need to be met in that relationship, because you know there would be a guarantee your need would never be fulfilled, because you got some kind of guilt and you're hiding it and you're not allowing it to be acknowledged. So it begins and ends with me, just like what it's saying right here. You know, it's a decision for what I saw. And then the ego says, well, feel bad about that and beat yourself up for the stuff you've asked for in the past, rather than to see the freedom of, if that's true, then I can immediately start having my needs fulfilled and give myself what I need by knowing that it begins in me. And all I got to do is look for it in me. And when I see it in me, I'm going to see it out there. See, that's the good news. That means from this moment forward, no matter what I asked for in the past by not loving myself, from this moment forward, I can move forward into one of the most beautiful, incredible lives that I've ever had, because right here, right now, I can start looking within and telling myself, you know what? I don't give anything but love. Now, you might not see it that way, but that's not my issue. I'm giving you love. Now, you may not feel it and you may not see it, but it don't have nothing to do with me sitting up here giving it to you. See how relaxing it is for me? And then I want to be so conscious that I feel like if I see anything but love, then it means that I'm looking inside myself and believing I got the power to give something else other than love. That I want to go back to, I'm not seeing it out there, so I must not be seeing it in here. And then I start seeing it in here. Then I form relationships with people who remind me that the love is in me when I forget about it. I work it from the outer and I work it from the inner. See the difference? I surround myself as much as I can with people who remind me of the truth when I forget it, but not in a correcting kind of judgmental way. And I'll try to remember as much as I can that if I'm not experiencing peace and love out here, then I've looked inside myself, saw something I'm feeling guilty about or unworthy about or afraid about, and believing there's something else in me besides love. And then I'm looking out here and experiencing it in people in my life and my relationships and my job and my money and all that stuff that's happening. That's why sometimes when you're on the spiritual path and you want to learn these new ideas, you have to be quiet. Because if a person doesn't believe it, then they're going to try to convince you that your idea isn't valuable. And that weakens it. Mm-hmm. But you could have had the idea in total peace, silently, and then share it with those who also want to share the same idea. And you know them. You know who they are. They'll be the ones who are talking the same way you are on their own. They don't need you to, you know, watch getting in relationships where you're going to try to teach the person consciously. You're going to do what the course calls a consciously selected miracle. You're going to pick somebody out that you're going to help. The course says be on the lookout for that. You know, because a consciously selected miracle can be misguided. You know why it's misguided? Because you're the one that thinks you're the healer. Yeah, the mere fact that you're the one that thinks you're the healer means that you're misguided. Mm-hmm. So to me, a misguided helper is someone who thinks their ego is helping me and not spirit. You know, if I think it's coming from my ego. You know, I'm going to help y'all tonight, and I'm going to fix y'all. That's the ego.
We can only remind each other.
Yeah, and the best way in the world. Yeah, the best way in the world to remind me is through demonstrating the love to me. You know, I don't need anybody else just talking it to me. I'm so fed up with talk. I'm tired of listening to my talk and everybody else's talk. You know, it's time to live this thing. Are we separate sitting up in here, or are we one? Are we here to be afraid of each other, or are we brothers and sisters in love? You know, the desire that we have to connect and be free and know people we feel safe with, are we going to do it with each other? Are we going to continue to look for it to happen at some future date with people who are reflecting qualities we haven't developed? You know, I have to make the decision. What? I give only love, I receive only love. And if I received anything else, it's because I looked inside of myself and thought I had the power to give something else within myself beside love. That's why I'm seeing it out there. Okay? Now this next paragraph, it's kind of so deep that it's hard for me to get into it, but I'm gonna do it anyway. I'm gonna try to go for it anyway. Paragraph 10. Now, when you hear "mean," you could either say, you could either look at it as Jesus, or you could look at it as higher consciousness, or you could look at it as spirit, or you could look at it as love. But that's what "mean" is. So he says, "You are afraid of me because you look within and are afraid of what you saw. Yet you could not have seen reality. For the reality of your mind is the loveliest of all of God's creations." The reality of your mind is the loveliest of all God's creations. That's another thing. Isn't that so cool to say, you know something? How do you know you're not really looking inside and seeing yourself? Because you're looking inside and not feeling love for what you see. And if you're looking inside and you're not loving what you see when you look inside of yourself, then it means you're not seeing yourself. So you don't have to try to fix that self that you think is all messed up.
Right.
It's not you. And you're trying to fix it, you think messed up, it's not you. He said if you had looked inside and saw yourself, you would have saw something so beautiful. You would have saw it as the loveliest of all God's creations. You would be feeling so good about yourself, you would be completely happy. What did that do with it? Just disappear.
Shattering.
I mean, that's a trip. So, if you don't feel good about yourself and you don't like yourself, I'm here to tell you tonight, you haven't seen yourself. If you saw yourself, you'd love it. And if you saw yourself, you wouldn't be trying to love it. It'd be so lovable, you couldn't but help but love it. So what I'm saying is you're busy, maybe, trying to love a self that's not you in the first place. That's why it's so hard. That's why it's not working. Of course you can't love the self you despise.
Sure.
That's common sense. You know, I hate myself, but I'm spending all my days, I call spiritual growth, trying to love the self I hate. Yeah. And the thought is saying, no, if you're seeing the self you hate, you're not seeing yourself. You're not seeing yourself. You're seeing the self you made up about yourself. You're seeing a story that you made up about yourself. Because you are the loveliest of God's creations.
Well, you can't get someone to love you if you're not seeing their love.
And you're not going to see their love till you see your love.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's what I'm saying. But we have to take a stand. We have to take a stand, you all. We have to take a stand. Are you love or are you fear? I didn't say that you see it that way. I didn't ask you if you felt that way about yourself. I'm asking you to make a decision about who you are. Are you love or are you attack? Are you love or are you fear? Are you guilt or are you innocent? Because if you're innocent, then the guilt you see in yourself means you're not seeing yourself. So, you know, now you know where to head. Now I know I need to get to the self in me that's innocent rather than spend all my time trying to deal with the self in me that's guilty. That just gives it a reality that it doesn't have. I'm giving it all that attention. I'm making it real. You know, that's why I like to tell people to come to my class from time to time, I'm sorry, you're not broke. You don't need fixing. You need reminding. I need reminding that I'm one of the loveliest of God's creations. I need somebody right now to remind me because I think I can look inside myself and see the power to give myself something other than love. I don't always love Earl Purdy. So if you're going to be my savior, then you remind me that I'm the loveliest of all of God's creations and that right now I'm just caught up in the cloud.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, and I'm glad to remind you. It's easy. You know what I'm saying? You cool. So Spirit started making the whole thing easier for me by putting people in my life that it was easy for me to love and appreciate. Therefore, it was easier for me to give love, and therefore it became easier to realize that I'm loved. I used to be the other school where I was surrounded by people that was always giving me a hard time that I was trying to either get away from or trying to figure out some way to love them. And that took up so much energy. It's much easier to appreciate somebody you really are grateful for than it is to try to make yourself feel grateful about somebody you wish would get ran over by a bus. It's slightly different. It's a little bit different from that. And that's usually where the mind goes. It always goes to the hardest person first. It's like soon as we hear, you got to be more loving, I go to the person I got the biggest grievance with. And that's like, put them at the bottom of the line. Put them at the end of the line. Put those people that you hate the most or misperceive the most because you're seeing something in yourself other than love, put them at the end of the line of forgiveness, yes. Not at the head of the line. Don't take the hardest person first. Leave them at the end of the line. Start with the person that got in front of you at the post office line. Mm-hmm. You know, work your way up. Then work your way up to little old funny Uncle Hester. You know what I'm saying? Put him at the end of the line. But people start right at the first with the person they got the biggest misperception and grievance with. Let me keep on going. I try not to let the subject matter get in the way of what I have to say. He says, if you're afraid of love because you looked inside and you are afraid of what you saw, you looked inside and you are afraid of what you saw. He says, yet you couldn't have seen reality, for the reality of your mind, the reality of your mind is the loveliest of God's creations. Coming only from God, your mind's power and grandeur could only bring you peace. If you really looked at the power and the beauty of your own mind, it could only give you peace. If you really saw how beautiful you are, it would only give you peace. See, first he's the text is like setting up the whole premise. It's not saying you necessarily believe it, but let me tell you the alphabet of the whole thing. The alphabet of the whole thing is that you are one of the loveliest of all of God's creations. And what we're going to do is get rid of all the blocks in your mind that keeps you from seeing that. That's the process. But we got to make a decision, you all. Are we cool or not? Mm-hmm. I'm asking. Are we cool?
Yes.
Are you a good person?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You sure about that?
Yes.
But sometimes you look inside yourself and think you got the power to feel something else about yourself other than you go, right?
Yes.
Right? Okay, then that's why we see it. Everybody clear of that. Mm-hmm. But if you really saw yourself, you would have peace because it would be so beautiful to you. You feel so good about yourself when you really see who you are. He's telling you, when you really see who you are, it'll just give you peace. He's like, oh, shoot, I'm all right. Yeah. You know. Then he'd be like, you don't love me? What's your problem? It's like you don't love me, what's my problem? You don't love me, what's your who ruins you like that as a little child if you don't love me? That's the way it is when you see correctly. Like you wanna, oh, you don't love me. Oh, you got a problem. What's wrong? Somebody really hurt you, didn't I? That should be seeing me as the woman that never gets the hours of God. It's a God little chocolate creation, man.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. With a little ball on top. So you see the premise?
Yeah.
You see the premise?
Mm-hmm.
The premise is what? We're the loveliest.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make that decision. Then he says, if you are afraid, I love this line. If you are afraid, it's because you saw something that's not there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you're afraid, you're seeing something that's not there.
Okay.
But what's that you're seeing is not there? You're seeing something other than love there. You're seeing something in you that you think is not beautiful. It's not innocent. It's sinful or guilty or bad. He says you're looking inside yourself. You're seeing what's not there. But in the same place, You could have looked upon me and all your brothers in the perfect safety of the mind which created us. I'm looking at the fear, but right next to the fear that I'm not looking at is the love and the peace that I'm looking for. But it's in the same place. But I'm choosing not to look at it.
Wow.
The recorder is here and the program is here. Both of them in the same place. But I'm choosing to look at the fear. The love is there, but I'm choosing to look at the fear and therefore to open my eyes and see the fear out there. But he's saying, but you got another choice. You got another choice. You have another choice. No matter what happened to you in your past, you have the power of decision right now. So you could decide to see yourself right. And if you decide to see yourself right tonight, then I feel like I did my job. If you walk out of here and you're more motivated to see the good in you than what's wrong with you, then we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool that we have a choice, though?
Yeah, that's the last choice. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about it being the last choice. What's the last choice you're going to make? The last choice you're going to make is to see yourself right and to treat yourself right. That's going to be your last choice. You know why? Because you wouldn't think of choosing anything else from then on. That's why it's your last choice. It's not like you're going to go, I'm going to choose to treat me right, but next week I'm going to choose to treat me wrong. And then next week I'm going to choose to treat me wrong. And then next week I'm going to choose to treat me right. It's not the last choice until you make it the only choice. The last means only. Only one love for me. What are you going to want 20 years from your love? What are you going to want when you leave your body and you're on the other side? Love. What do you want? I made my last choice. All I want is peace. I don't have any other choice.
It's like you always find something in the last place you look, because when you find it, you don't look no more.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm looking for a microphone, and I find the microphone, I immediately stop looking for microphones.
Exactly.
If you're still looking, then you haven't found what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't be in love no 100 times in your life.
Okay.
I was in love with her, and then before that I was in love with her, and then before that I was in love with her, and then before that I was in love with him. That was a real challenge. And then before that I was in love with her, and then before that I was in love with her. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, but I'm not in love with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
See, but I'm not in love with them. Well, that wasn't love. You can't love somebody and cut it off. You can't love somebody and next week you get good with somebody else, but the person you used to love, you don't love them no more. You see what I'm saying? Because that's seeing something inside yourself other than love. That's why sometimes I have love and sometimes I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just one love that comes through you through a lot of different forms. That's just one love. Just like we just all breathing the one air. And the one air is going through all our forms. So all of us are really living off the same thing right now. Which is really deep. Because if we're living off the same thing right now, we must be the same thing.
The same.
And it's because I don't think you are that I don't enjoy you. That's why I call you stranger. I can't feel completely safe around a stranger. I need to make you not strangers if I'm ever going to love you. You know, as long as I'm looking at you from across the room and I don't know you, then I'll make up something about you. You know, I want love. I want to experience it. I want to live it. I want to know it. And I don't want to abdicate my needs to try to hold on to somebody, because I think they're fulfilling my need and they're the only one that can do it, so I won't be myself and I'll compromise myself so I can hang on to that relationship. That's what we call special relationships. You know, that's all they are.
Yeah.
It's just your need meeting, being introduced to my need. You know, I'm in love. You know, it's like, I hope and pray nobody falls in love with me. I hope and I pray nobody falls in love with me. And I hope and I pray that everyone love me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a difference.
Because in love, by its very nature, is excluding everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So as I go in love, then I just like, it's like nobody else gets it.
Right.
And I don't want a love that nobody else gets.
Mm-hmm.
Because it won't last. Because the only thing that lasts is something that's shared. You can't keep anything you keep. Haven't you noticed?
Yeah.
One of the things you're most afraid you're going to lose is your possessions. Interesting. Mm. They're your possessions. You know, that's why they go. They're yours. They're not shared. They're yours. What is it? What is it? That, does your body go? Yes.
Yes.
Guess what it is? Your body. Ever noticed that?
Yeah.
The thing that's yours is the thing that always ends. The thing that's not yours alone is the thing everybody keeps forever. Air isn't mine alone. Air was here before I was born. Air will be here after I leave. Everything that's real outlasts what's mine. So I would say that you really should be enjoying what's yours while it's around. Don't you think? You better be enjoying that house, that car, and clothes, and feeling, and, you know, because it's yours. So it's going to be temporary.
Don't get twisted when it disappears.
Well, it's yours. That's why you know it's going to disappear. But it lasts a little bit longer if I want everybody to benefit through it. Now, that's what I love about this. I can't lose anything that's real. You can't lose. Remember, you can't lose anything that's real. You can't lose anything that's real. You can't lose anything that's real. And anything that's real can't be threatened. Anything that's real can't be threatened. If you and I have a real love, Robin, I have no jealousy. Because if you and I have a real love, I know our love can't be threatened by anybody. Now, if it's not a real love, I'm watching every joker look at you.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really confident. I don't really feel it. I don't know if it's real. So I got to protect it. It might lose it. I might lose it. It's taking care of my needs. And I'm going to abdicate some of my needs so you won't leave me, by the way. Because I want to keep this special relationship going. So even if I have some needs that I really would like to express that bother you, I'm not going to do that so that I can keep this special relationship, because I don't really trust that we have love. And I got to do everything I can to try to hold on to it. Thank you.
That's so familiar.
You know what I'm saying? That's true. That's real, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if I love you, Robert, and I know you love me, and I love myself, then I know you would never, ever stop loving me. So I wouldn't have to watch you. And I know that, because I know I can't lose you.
And that can't be taken away.
And you can't take, somebody would try to take Robin away from me.
No, but when you
they couldn't
it,
do it.
When it's shared, that's something that you have forever. I mean,
yeah, it's written. It's like one of those concepts that we've heard all our lives in one form or another. But what I like about the Course is somehow or another, it makes it real in a way that is hard for me to describe. Like, didn't you feel the truth of that? Like, if she and I really loved ourselves, and we know we really love each other, do you think I would be afraid and jealous?
Yeah.
Of course I wouldn't. Okay, so therefore, just flip it. So therefore, if I'm in a relationship that I'm afraid and that I'm jealous, what is that telling me that I believe about the relationship?
That there's no love.
That there's no love there. That it's not really real. It's not really real if I think I can lose it. And so where did it start? It started with me looking inside myself, thinking that there was something wrong with me. Looking inside myself, thinking that there was something about me that wasn't whole and complete. That's where it all started. That's where the fear started. The fear started with my own fear of myself. And then that produced fearful relationships for me. So all I have to do to get rid of every fearful relationship or have every relationship in my life that is fearful transformed is to look inside myself and take a stand that what's inside of me is the mind that created me, the mind of God, the mind of love, the mind of power. There's something powerful inside of me. I might not be in touch with it. I might not always see it's there, but I'm claiming that there's something loving inside of me. See, that's the stand. And the last sentence says, for we are there in the peace of the Father who wills to extend his peace through you. So love is waiting to extend its peace through you into your world, but it can't extend out into your world where you can see it until you look inside and you're willing to see it in yourself. Because when you see it in yourself, that's when it goes through you. It's almost like you're the guy at the airport to let everybody go through. But if you don't see the guy to show your license to, then you don't get through. So as soon as you look at me, I'll let you pass through. As soon as you acknowledge the love and the goodness and the peace and the beauty that's inside of you, then it goes through you. And then it lights up your world in love. Thank you for listening to this much with me tonight. Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, higher power. Thank you, that part of us that loves us and knows we deserve love.
Comes right through you to us.
That's what I want. That's what I want. Because if it's going to you, it's going to me. So let's do the love offering. Let's bless the love offering. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
It wouldn't make sense for me to have change and not have change. So it's like I'm being asked to prepare myself and to welcome change and not to resist change and not to fight change. That, you know, everything I've ever wanted in my heart is about to manifest, but I've got to be willing not to hold on to anything from the past. And trust, and really trust, and really see the look inside and see the love. You know. And I'm excited, but the part of me that thinks it wants to always know what's going on, or the part of me that always associates change with pain or fear, of course, it's not happy about that. You know. Like, I used to want things to change without changing.
We all did.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like I wanted to change, but I don't really want it to change. I just want everything to stay the same without me going through the suffering it entails.
Yeah.
You know. But did that make sense to you, like it did to me, about making the decision? Make the tonight, one of the most important things that we could do would be to make a decision about who we are. You know what I'm saying? I want to ask you to make a decision about who you are. Are you love or are you fear? I claim that you're love.
Hey,
Jude.
Wow.
So I'm going to do a quick review. If you're afraid of yourself, it just means you look within and you're afraid of what you're seeing in yourself. So if you feel afraid right now, you're just afraid of what you are seeing inside yourself. But if you are really seeing yourself, you'd just be looking at one of the loveliest of God's creations. You would like what you were seeing in yourself so much that it would make you happy. So if you are afraid, if you are upset with yourself, it's because you're seeing something that's not there. Your guilt is not there. You may have made a mistake. A mistake is for correction. You're not sinful. You're not guilty. You're looking inside yourself and seeing what's not there, and then you see it on the outside. So I'm here to remind you that your mind is one of the loveliest of God's creations. So claim for yourself right now, I am loving. I am lovable. I am loving. I am loving. I am lovable. I am loving. Your mind
loveliest of God's creations. And if you're looking inside and feeling anything but good about yourself, it means you have not really seen yourself. You are one of the loveliest of God's creations. And if you were to realize just how loving and lovable you are, it would give you anything but peace. And if you don't feel peace inside yourself, it's because you are lying to yourself. Stop lying to yourself tonight. And lovable. Claim it for yourself. No matter what you feel about yourself, remind yourself that you're going to stop looking inside yourself and seeing things that are not there. Stop seeing the worthlessness that's not there. Stop seeing the insecurity that's not there. Stop seeing the judgment on you that's not there. Stop seeing the lack in you that's not there. Right beside it is the beauty in you. Right beside it is the freedom in you. Right beside it is the child of God in you. You give only love. You've only given only love. You've only expressed two things since you've been on the planet, and that's either love or a call for love. So as you go back into the lab, if you see anything other than peace, try to remind yourself, my peace comes from me. It can't come from anywhere else. I must have looked inside myself and thought I had the power to feel something about myself other than love. And so therefore I'm looking out and seeing a decision that I made about myself. And I'm going to decide to see myself right because I have one remaining power. That's the power of decision. I'm going to decide to see myself as one of the loveliest of God's creations. You are lovely. Appreciate you. And may the course be with you. I'll see you next time, Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all. That's the truth about you. Hugs are available. Go to earlperny.com. All my classes are available on my website. You can buy individual classes, or you can have access to over 200 classes that you can listen to or download. earlperny.com, earlperny.net, either one.
Download a hug.
Download a hug.